It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
This is a study about the tribulation period we read of in the Bible. My perspective of the tribulation is based upon the Word of God. If you hear me reading from the Bible a certain passage and that passage doesn't match what your Bible says, then you are not using the Bible I use. I use the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. Each subject and lesson I teach is based upon the Word of God. As we study, we find that the tribulation period will be a time of deception and despair. We will also find that within the pages of the Bible that during the 7 years of tribulation, God is still willing to receive those who are willing to receive the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as Savior. May the Lord guide and direct us as we look into His Word. Join with me now as we study Lesson 3 of the Tribulation. In our study of the Great Tribulation, or the Tribulation Period, we've looked at some things that had to have taken place before the tribulation begins, and of course we saw how that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ had to take place, and it did. And then we've also seen how that the Holy Spirit would come, and we saw how that the church would be established and built upon Christ Himself, how that Christ started the church. The day of Pentecost, actually, God sanctioned the church. And we saw how that the Holy Spirit would come and people would be saved and the church would be established. Well, we also saw that something would be in the future. After the church was started, there would be a time when the rapture of the church would take place, caught up. No, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It simply means caught up. We will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. Why should we teach that? Well, the Bible tells us that we're to teach that in order to comfort one another. That's the comfort, the Christian. The Christian needs to be comforted in this day and time that we live in, knowing that we're not going to go through the great or the tribulation period. And once again, I remind you that we do have tribulation on this earth, financial difficulties, sickness, death. Certain things come upon us, but there's never going to be a time, there's never been a time like the tribulation period that will come up on this earth. Well, let's look today at the tribulation, peace, safety, and sudden destruction. Well, I've said this before, that the tribulation will be 7 years. There's going to be 3.5 years of peace and 3.5 years of great tribulation. Well, the 7 years of tribulation will begin sometime after the church has been removed. And the 7 year period begins shortly after a covenant. This is important, after a covenant or a treaty is made with the nation of Israel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says this, "And he," that's the prince of verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9, he's the beast, "and he shall confirm the covenant," or treaty, "with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." An event takes place that causes the treaty of the beast to be confirmed. Now, the 1 week mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, is a week of years. In other words, each day of the mentioned week represents 1 year. So, 1 week equals 7 years. Thus, 7 years of tribulation. Well, after the peace treaty has been signed, in the middle of this 7 year period, the covenant or treaty is broken. And the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist, becomes the ruler of the world and demands that people worship him as God. And Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "And he," and that's the prince of verse 26, the beast, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation," or the end, "and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now in Matthew chapter 24, we read some interesting verses here in verses 15 through 21. Many people look at this as, Matthew 24, as speaking of the rapture of the church. It's not so. This is a tribulation passage. In Matthew 24, verse 15, it says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place," this of course is the beast of the Antichrist standing there, "whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." It's going to be a time when it's never been done before, it's never happened before, and after this it'll never happen again. Well, Jesus referred to the last 3.5 years as a time of great tribulation. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, we've read that. This will be a time of tremendous satanic activity. And Satan's man will be the earth's ruler and absolute dictator. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, you can read that later if you would, and it talks about this. And Revelation 13:2 says this, "The dragon gave him his power." That's the Antichrist, gave the Antichrist's power. In Revelation 13:4, "They worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast." We're seeing devil worship today, aren't we? Well, there's nothing like it's going to take place during the tribulation. The devil will be worshiped openly and by many openly. And we're seeing the beginning of that today. People are being programmed for this. But we see that the devil is going to be in charge. He's going to give the beast his power. Now, when I say the devil's in charge, God is still God. He's going to let the devil go so far, and we're going to see that later on. But God is still in charge, but he's letting the devil have reign at this point, the great tribulation. Well, the first part of the tribulation period, we see that there's going to be peace. In the beginning, this is after Christ removes his bride, the church. And we've already looked at the rapture and how that's going to take place. Well, how will the tribulation begin? There's going to be a false peace. A bow and arrow indicates a seemingly peaceful beginning. Revelation, we'll read that later. And in fact, we'll read that right now. It says, "And I saw," Revelation 6, 1 and 2, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Notice he did not have any arrows. This is an indication that with the bow, that once again he has the bow, but he has no arrows. This represents the fact that he's coming, the Antichrist is coming in peace. He's going to take over with his words, with his mouth, and we'll see that later on. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. "For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." This is speaking of the last 3.5 years. People are going to be seemingly, they're going to be lulled to sleep. They're going to think, oh boy, this is great. We've never had anything like this. And then all of a sudden, the great tribulation takes place, and people are going to, they're going to see something that has never happened before, and they're going to experience this. Well, I believe that, I mentioned that there's going to be great peace in the beginning and a peace treaty. And I believe this peace or treaty comes about after Gog and Magog number one. Well, there is a Gog and Magog number two. And if you'll read Ezekiel 38 and chapter 39 and verse 9 and Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 and 2, you'll read about this. Well, will this peace come to an end? Now, I believe that Gog and Magog 1, of course, takes place at the beginning, or shortly before the tribulation begins. And I believe as the Antichrist comes to the forefront, that people are going to think that he actually wins the war. of Gog and Magog and protects Israel and protects the whole world. And as such, people are going to accept him as a great person that is able to protect them, a great person that is able to rule the whole world and take care of everybody in the world. Well, that's Gog and Magog 1, and there's going to be a Gog and Magog 2, and that takes place at the end of the millennium. And we'll see more about that later on. Well, will this peace come to an end? Yes. The red in Revelation 6:4 indicates war. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red. Now the white horse went out, now you have a red horse. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Well, now the Antichrist, his true colors are being seen. He's actually now going to cause great tribulation. Well, will Christians go through the tribulation? The answer is an emphatic no. We've already seen and read how that the rapture will take place. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Salvation caught out of here, taken out in the rapture of the church. Verse 10 says, speaking of Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves. Here's that word comfort again. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Well, the church is going to be gone. Christians are not going to go through the tribulation period. But now, wait a minute. We say Christians won't go through. Well, will there be anybody saved during the tribulation period? Well, terminology has a great deal to play in these things that we're looking at. And Christians, we believe that we're Christians today, of course, and we're saved, and we're members of Christ's church. But will there be Christians during the tribulation period? People will be saved during the tribulation, I believe. We see Jews being saved, and we see Gentiles being saved. Look with me, if you would, in Revelation chapter 7, if you have your Bibles. Now, I encourage you to have your Bible open to Revelation. Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 8, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, this is the children of Israel, not some cult running around saying that they're the ones that's going to be saved during this time, or there's only going to be 144,000 go to heaven. That's a cult. This is speaking of the future during the tribulation period. "And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. And it goes on telling you how many were sealed of each tribe. And it ends by saying, "Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. 12,000 from each tribe. In Revelation 7:9, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Next time I'm going to tell you who these people are, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.